Welcome to Interactive Church. The topic of the readings for this meeting is In Our Rightful Mind. I shall read from the King James Bible, 2 Timothy. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Psalms. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Proverbs. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Mark. Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and he began again to teach by the seaside. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. It is recorded that once Jesus asked the name of a disease which moderns would call dementia. The demon, or evil, replied that his name was Legion. Thereupon Jesus cast out the evil, and the insane man was changed, and straightway became whole. The scripture seems to import that Jesus caused the evil to be self-seen, and so destroyed. There are many species of insanity. All sin is insanity in different degrees. Every sort of sickness is error, that is, sickness is loss of harmony. The supposition that we can correct insanity by the use of purgatives and narcotics is in itself a mild species of insanity. Drugs do not affect a corpse. And truth does not distribute drugs through the blood and from them derive a supposed effect on intelligence and sentiment. A dislocation of the tarsal joint would produce insanity as perceptibly as would congestion of the brain, were it not that mortal mind thinks that the tarsal joint is less intimately connected with the mind than is the brain. There is a universal insanity of so-called health, which mistakes fable for fact throughout the entire round of the material senses. But this general craze cannot, in a scientific diagnosis, shield the individual case from the special name of insanity. Those unfortunate people who are committed to insane asylums are only so many distinctly defined instances of the baneful effects of illusion on mortal minds and bodies. The treatment of insanity is especially interesting. However obstinate the case, it yields more readily than do most diseases to the salutary action of truth, which counteracts error. The arguments to be used in curing insanity are the same as in other diseases, namely, the impossibility that matter, brain, can control or derange mind, can suffer or cause suffering. Also the fact that truth and love will establish a healthy state, guide and govern mortal mind or the thought of the patient, and destroy all error, whether it is called dementia, hatred, or any other discord. Ossification, or any abnormal condition or derangement of the body, is as directly the action of mortal mind as is dementia or insanity. Because mortal mind seems to be conscious, the sick say, "How can my mind cause a disease I never thought of and knew nothing about until it appeared on my body?" The author has answered this question in her explanation of disease as originating in human belief before it is consciously apparent on the body, which is in fact the objective state of mortal mind, though it is called matter. This mortal blindness and its sharp consequences show our need of divine metaphysics. Through immortal mind or truth, we can destroy all ills which proceed from mortal mind. When we remove disease by addressing the disturbed mind, giving no heed to the body, we prove that thought alone creates the suffering. The procuring cause and foundation of all sickness is fear, ignorance, or sin. Disease is always induced by a false sense mentally entertained, not destroyed. Mortal mind and body combine as one, and the nearer matter approaches its final statement, animate error, called nerves, brain, mind, the more prolific it is likely to become in sin and disease belief. If it becomes necessary to startle mortal mind to break its dream of suffering, vehemently tell your patient that he must awake. Turn his gaze from the false evidence of the senses to the harmonious facts of soul and immortal being. Tell him that he suffers only as the insane suffer from false belief. The only difference is that insanity implies belief in a diseased brain, while physical ailments, so-called, arise from the belief that other portions of the body are deranged. Derangement or disarrangement is a word which conveys the true definition of all human belief in ill health or disturbed harmony. Mortal mind is the strong man, which must be held in subjection before its influence upon health and morals can be removed. This error conquered, we can despoil the strong man of his goods, namely of sin and disease. Unconscious mortal mind, alias matter, brain, cannot dictate terms to consciousness, nor say, "I am sick." The belief that the unconscious substratum of mortal mind, termed the body, suffers and reports disease independently of the so-called conscious mind, is the error which prevents mortals from knowing how to govern their bodies. Instruct the sick that they are not helpless victims. For if they will only accept truth, they can resist disease and ward it off as positively as they can the temptation to sin. The animate should be governed by God alone. The real man is spiritual and immortal, but the mortal and imperfect, so-called children of men, are counterfeits from the beginning, to be laid aside for the pure reality. This mortal is put off, and the new man, or real man, is put on, in proportion as mortals realize the science of man and seek the true model. The fact that truth overcomes both disease and sin reassures depressed hope. It imparts a healthy stimulus to the body and regulates the system. It increases or diminishes the action, as the case may require, better than any drug, alterative, or tonic. Mind is the natural stimulus of the body, but erroneous belief, taken at its best, is not promotive of health or happiness. If a crisis occurs in your treatment, you must treat the patient less for the disease and more for the mental disturbance or fermentation, and subdue the symptoms by removing the belief that this chemicalization produces pain or disease. Insist vehemently on the great fact which covers the whole ground, that God's Spirit is all, and that there is none beside him. There is no disease. As when an acid and alkali meet and bring out a third quality, so mental and moral chemistry changes the material base of thought, giving more spirituality to consciousness and causing it to depend less on material evidence. If delusion says, "I have lost my memory," contradict it. No faculty of mind is lost. In science, all being is eternal, spiritual, perfect, harmonious in every action. Let the perfect model be present in your thoughts instead of its demoralized opposite. The spiritualization of thought lets in the light and brings the divine mind, life, not death, into your consciousness. When the mechanism of a human mind gives place to the divine mind, selfishness and sin, disease and death will lose their foothold. Mind and its formations can never be annihilated. Principle is not to be found in fragmentary ideas. The material body mind are temporal, but the real man is spiritual and eternal. The identity of the real man is not lost, but found through this explanation. For the conscious infinitude of existence and of all identity is thereby discerned and remains unchanged. It is impossible that man should lose aught that is real, when God is all and eternally his. Mortals obtain the harmony of health only as they forsake discord, acknowledge the supremacy of divine mind, and abandon their material beliefs. Eradicate the image of disease from the perturbed thought before it has taken tangible shape in conscious thought, alias the body, and you prevent the development of disease. This task becomes easy if you understand that every disease is an error and has no character nor type except what mortal mind assigns to it. Evil is nothing, no thing, mind, nor power. As manifested by mankind, it stands for a lie, nothing claiming to be something. For lust, dishonesty, selfishness, envy, hypocrisy, slander, hate, theft, adultery, murder, dementia, insanity, inanity, devil, hell, with all the etceteras that word includes. The medicine of science is divine mind, and dishonesty, sensuality, falsehood, revenge, malice are animal propensities and by no means the mental qualities which heal the sick. The prophylactic and therapeutic, that is, the preventive and curative arts, belong emphatically to Christian Science, as would be readily seen if psychology or the science of spirit, God, was understood. Christian Science explains all cause and effect as mental, not physical. It lifts the veil of mystery from soul and body. It shows the scientific relation of man to God, disentangles the interlaced ambiguities of being, and sets free the imprisoned thought. This concludes the readings.